Good afternoon. It's Tuesday lunchtime, and that means it's time for the MoneyWeb at Midday show. I'm Warren Thompson. Remember that this show is being brought to you by Chartered Accountants of South Africa, leaders in business, and it's more of earnings season as we get going with two interviews I have conducted a little bit earlier today, both Clover and FirstRand Group announcing interim results. We start with Johan Forster from Clover, who I spoke to a little bit earlier following the publication of their interim results. Some fantastic results there, with normalized revenue up 7.7%, operating profit up nearly 15%, and headline earnings moving faster than both of those numbers higher up the income statement. HEPS up 18% to 1.17. This is what Johan Forster had to say just a few minutes ago. Right, Clover Industries announced interim results to the end of December today that saw normalized revenue up 7.7% to 4.2 billion rand, but operating profit advancing nearly 15% to 370 million rand, and headline earnings per share moving even faster, up almost 18% to 1.17. Joining me now is the Chief Executive Officer, Johan Forster, who joins me on the line. Good to have you with us, Johan.
Thank you, Warren. Thanks for your interest.
Great set of results today. Just give us your reaction as to what you thought about them, and perhaps some ideas around what drove that ability to grow your headline earnings faster than your top line.
What stands out for me, Warren, is that we've been able to keep our prices constant. We didn't go with a price increase, and hence a very pleasing 8% volume growth. And you know, in an inflationary environment, one of your best weapons against inflation is volume growth. So that's really what we've achieved. But in order to get to a no sales price increase, we had to get about 300 million rands worth of savings out of the business. And that we did with two special projects that we've launched. The one was to change in some of our recipes, also to help the sugar tax. And the other one was we moved some of our equipment around to get a bigger scale, which then gave our suppliers the ability to give us much better prices. So that's really that stood out for me for the last 6 months.
All right, but you noted that top line growth only moving up 7.7%. How was inflation in your business during that period?
So the inflation was above 6% because, you know, just from a labor point of view, which is a very labor intensive business, we settled with the unions at 7.5%. So you will see the revenue went up 7.7 and the volumes 8%. So there was no inflationary adjustment, a relief that we got from our business. We had to get all of it from savings to counteract any of the cost increases. And that's the part that I think the teams did really well.
One of the things I found interesting in your results, you break down group sales volumes according to the different categories What was particularly growing well ahead of inflation were those value-added dairy fluids and fermented products and desserts. Just explain to us what sort of products you find in each of those two categories and what was really driving the sales and the movement of the volume there.
Yeah, so the fermented products and desserts, that's our new yogurt range, which we launched about 18 months ago after Danone and us split. And the brand just fits it so well in our distribution network. So we've been growing really well with the yogurt, up to some months 16% market share in a very short period of time. And then similarly with the desserts, which is the custard, also a similar type of market share. So that really grew very well for us. It's a high margin business. It's exactly what we're attempting to do with the split with PSA and Clover, you know, to focus on value-added products. On the drinking milk or the liquid, maybe that's our value-added. For example, our lactose-free milk, our Clover Care, which is the enriched milk, as well as Numel, which is a cheaper offering of the long-life milk that you get. So those three products also performed extremely well.
All right, great. So and this all led to this increase in the value-added products, increased your operating margin over the period quite considerably. That moved from 6.3% to 8.8%. How much scope, Johan, is there to carry on increasing those margins?
Look, we obviously would like to increase it as we go along, because the whole intention of having DFSA split out with a lower margin business is for us to increase, you know, that margin as we enter into new categories and as we add more value-added products. So it hinges around whether we'll be able to bring in new products or line extensions or new categories, because out of the existing business, you know, we've got a lot, took a lot of costs out. There's still a second phase as well for the next year, but that will go slower and slower. So we've got a good infrastructure now. Our factories are in the right place. We've spent a lot of capital in the last 5 years. It's a question of bringing in those new categories and new products, which we are planning to do towards the latter part of this year.
That was Johan Forster, the CEO of Clover Industries.
MoneyWeb has a unique opportunity for financial advisors. Through our Click and Advisor offering, advisors can interact with a growing investor-based audience and attract new clients. To find out more, visit www.moneyweb.co.za.
A little bit earlier, First Rand released interim results to the end of December that saw normalized earnings up 7%, its dividend advanced 9%, and the company or the group enjoy return on equity of 22.5%. These were the last set of results for the CEO, Johan Berger, and I caught up with him a little bit earlier to get his thoughts on the results and where the company and the group are headed.
Obviously, I think very proud of the set of results we've been able to deliver. I think that one should see these results in the context of still a very difficult political and macroeconomic environment of the past 6 months. Obviously, things have changed dramatically since. So being able to deliver a real growth rate, which has always been our objective, so the 7%, we achieved that real growth rate, and ROE of 22.5%, again, above our objectives from a return profile, and the dividend growth of 9%. The only reason that dividend grows faster than the earnings, obviously we dropped the dividend cover last year just because of lower growth, higher returns. We felt it appropriate to reward ourselves a little bit more in the dividend perspective. But overall, what is nice about these set of results, as I said, real earnings growth, good return profile, is the quality of the top line and the prudency.
Getting into it a little bit more, Johan, your deposits grew faster than your advances across the group by 9%, advances growing by 7%. And that was quite a contrast when I looked at FNB, where you had advances growth of 5%, which is, I'd say, just barely keeping up with inflation, deposits growing faster. But then in RMB, quite a different scenario, advances growing a little bit faster there at 9%. To me, if we're broadly speaking from your results, your clients, certainly on the consumer front, seem to be less keen for their appetite for credit, or certainly your appetite to extend the credit. But on the corporate front, there seems to be a little bit more appetite for your lending. Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, I think there are a couple of themes in there. I think obviously the themes are different in the different franchises and the different sub-segments, I think so. But from a consumer perspective, I think that, yes, at the bottom end of the consumer market, there was more deliberate decisions to start cutting back risk appetite because where we were in the economy. But then we've seen very good customer growth in the premium market and the commercial market. So there the advances would have gone faster on the back of a deliberate strategy on client acquisition and further cross-sell lending products into that client base. In RMB, I think some of that growth is cross-border, and some of that growth actually off the back of larger deals that in fact happened in prior periods. So you've seen benefits from transactions in the prior period. So function of deliberate strategies on customer acquisition and where you see lower growth in certain asset classes would have been because we had a deliberate strategy of either pulling back risk or not being comfortable that we can get the appropriate return out of some of the lending businesses. So there's different flavors in different buckets. But you can, and then on the deposit side, again, a deliberate strategy. I think that we wanted to reduce our reliance on the wholesale market to fund the business. And so the launch of new products and leveraging the client base in F&B, we've been able to sell very new innovative products into the different channels, into that customer base. So we've achieved very good success in raising retail and commercial deposits in the franchises.
Your costs rose by 8%. You said you're sustaining quite a lot of investment into some platforms, notably asset management. Give us an idea how things are progressing there.
There are two themes when you talk about investing. The one, an efficiency theme, so where we invest in new platforms to extract more efficiencies. Now, out of example, if you look at the investment we made in RMB, especially in the global market space, if you look at the fixed cost of RMB, if you exclude a lot of the investments, you'll see that fixed cost base will have grown by 1%. So that's a very good result of it spending on investment and then seeing the efficiency later. Then there's obviously the spend on new growth initiatives, both on the asset management side, the insurance side, and also then in the rest of Africa. And our policy has always been that you invest for efficiency, you invest for growth, but write those things off in the income statement. That's why we've always had a cost growth above inflation because of the strategy. So if you look at the underlying, what I would say, run the bank as is, those cost growth in the different franchises, in fact, are a lot lower. So it's a very good outcome for us.
Okay, great. We'd spoken, I think, a little bit in the last interview about the migration that's taking place from your physical bricks and mortar to your electronic channels. I noted in the release here, you said higher volumes across F&B's digital and electronic channels. That's a story that's continuing to unfold at the speed that you anticipated.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, the fascinating thing is that the speed of the migration has actually surprised us on the positive side. So if you look for an example, the increase in volume going through the banking app, 6 months on 6 months, a growth of 66%. That just shows you, and from ATMs to ADTs instead of the point of sale, a growth of 5%. So it's amazing how fast the adoption rates are starting to happen in the banking app. So that trend is so happening faster, and we think it's a fantastic trend line. But then that forces us to very carefully look at the legacy costs, or reconfigure the legacy cost, that we convert a lot of the point of sale or the old branches, as we refer to, make sure they become sales and service centers and not transactional centers, which means that ultimately we can then get the resultant reduction in the legacy cost of the business model. So that trend line absolutely continues.
That was Johan Burger, the Group CEO of FirstRand. Right, time to get stuck into the markets. The JSE All Share Index having a great day, up over 2%, trading at 59,134 points, and it's green across the bourse. Industrials up 1.9%, but it's financials leading the way, up 2.3% at the moment. Gold mining up 1%, and resources also having a great day, up nearly 2.5%. You heard Johan Burger talking about the FirstRand results there. It's the second most traded share on the JSE this morning by value, behind Naspers, and the hot on its heels is Standard Bank. So very interesting to see the banks trading up today. We've also got a fairly strong rand in this morning's trade, up 1% against the US dollar. It's trading at 11.76. It's made up 0.5% against the pound, where it's trading 16 rand 29, and against the euro, up nearly 1% to 14 rand 52. Gold has been supportive. It's up 0.25% to $1,323 an ounce. Platinum and palladium slightly weaker today. Palladium down 1% to $980 an ounce. Platinum $20 roughly cheaper at $961 an ounce. And here to discuss the markets with me is Nicholas Soror. He's a portfolio manager at Sasfin Wealth. Good to have you with us, Nick.
Warren, always good to be on the radio with you.
You heard Johan Burger talking about those results. FirstRand has typically always justified or always enjoyed a premium in the marketplace because of its high return on equity, and it's usually more, certainly faster earnings growth than its peers. Is that premium, in your opinion, still justified?
Well, yeah, there's still a big spread between what they're able to produce at an ROE of about 22.5%. Albeit that's slightly down from their record levels, but it's still way, way above what the other banks can currently produce. But, you know, from a return perspective, the other banks are right on their heels. I mean, geez, if you ever look at how well these banking stocks have done in the last 3 months, it was just now in December when FirstRand was at $50 a share. We're now at 76 Rand this afternoon. It's up well over 50%. You know, Nedbank having a great day today. I think it's one of the top performers on the exchange, trading at 312 Rand, and even Standard Bank way above the 200. 200 rand level. I thought that's something we wouldn't see for a long time, getting standard back at 200. Now we're at 200 and we're staring at 230 almost. So unbelievable returns from the banking stocks. I think it helps that our GDP shot the lights out for the fourth quarter. I mean, I don't know if you noticed, but that came out just after 11 o'clock this morning. And I think that really helps fuel this excitement that we have with the rejuvenation of the South African political sphere as well as our economy. And that certainly helps the things that are all lekker and local in South Africa, including our retailers and our banks. So just to refresh everyone's memory, I think we were expecting maybe a 1% for the full year. I think we came out with 1.3%.
That's right.
And that is a massive hit. And, you know, third quarter, 3.1% for the third quarter. I mean, I think we're looking at 1.4% as a figure. So completely above expectations. And hopefully we can get to that target of 2% by 2020, which is what, you know, our budget speech had indicated. So the markets are rallying towards that. Obviously, Naspers helps as well. That stock up a good 3% this afternoon. Tencent had a really good move early this morning in Hong Kong, and that's feeding through. But as you said, it's pretty broad-based, Warren. I mean, we've got really strong moves on the industrials, thanks to Naspers, on the financials, thanks to the likes of Nedbank, First Rand, Standard Bank, as well as Discovery, which is having a really, really good day. And then your resources also looking good. That index up about 2.6%. Some nice movements in your big boys, the Billitons and Anglos of this world. So generally a very solid day after a little bit of a shaky start in February. You know, it looks like March is turning out to be a pretty okay month for the market.
Nicholas, do you cover Clover at all? Do you keep it, or at least keep an eye on some of these
mid-cap really stocks? It's interesting. I think Clover has been a huge, huge disappointment for many an investor, as they say, restructure it for the new normal. And I think the new normal in their case was really struggling with a consumer that's under pressure. And then some South African companies have managed to do that better than others. And I think Clover a little bit late to the party, but if we notice things, it looks like some of that benefit's starting to come through. But Warren, no, not something that we have in our house view. It's not something that I follow very, very closely. The one that we do follow a little bit more closely would be Cash Build, and they also came out with some numbers this morning, and those were a little bit disappointing, from our perspective there. Mention they act as a supplier of building materials and a very good bellwether on the general consumer and the economy. And although GDP is looking good and some of the banks are releasing good numbers, it's not all positive across the board. You have to be very, very picky in what you're looking at. So, Cash Build has had quite a good rally in share price in the short term, but results just not up to scratch to keep that stock price going. So, like we've seen, First Rand up 50% in 3 months, the results are kind of there to actually support it, whereas Cash Build, we've had a bit of an increase from about the 350 Rand level all the way to the 450 Rand level, and now with results out this morning that weren't that good, showing that there is some pressure there on the building supplying side of things, that share price down about 5% at the moment.
Right, a little bit of pain there, and mixed results, because Clover up nearly 4%. Nick, we're going to have to leave it there, but thanks very much for joining us today.
100%, Warren. Thank you for having me.
We'll be chatting to Nicholas Soror, Portfolio Manager of Sasfin Wealth, quite shortly in the future. And just remember again that this show is brought to you by Chartered Accountants of South Africa, leaders in business.
Numerology studies tell us that numbers have symbolic meaning. Number 8 stands for success, 4 is stability, and 3 represents advantage. These qualities, over and above trust, ethics, and leadership, are embraced by CASA, the leading accounting, auditing, and tax business designation, underpinned by ethical standards, delivering responsible business leadership to take your business to number 1. Because business is more than just numbers. CASA, leaders in business.
Right, and that brings us to the end of the show for today. Remember, our English and Afrikaans-speaking radio shows kick off at 6 p.m. this evening. And obviously return to the MoneyWeb website for more breaking news and analysis around the listeriosis crisis and that GDP number, which I'm sure we will be covering in detail. So until the same time tomorrow, cheers for now.